Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Todd. It's great to be here. I got my little buddy with me. Come on, Josiah, come and say hello. Here he is. What's your name? How old are you? Where are you from?
My name's Josiah. I'm 8 and I'm from England.
Woo! Give it up for Josiah. Thanks, Josiah. He's so excited to do that. He just got to go in a police car for the first time in his life, I just want to add. And he loved that. So, yeah, it's so great to be in Lake Charles with Pastor Todd and Lisa and their amazing family. And Church of the King Lake Charles, we are so grateful for you. I could not believe it when Pastor Todd said, we want to give you $25,000 towards building a home in Pakistan. I mean, that's a generous gift. And we are so grateful. And sometimes, you know, when we tithe, when we give, when the bucket goes around, we kind of, you know, well, man. Well, I just want you to know you're part of something much bigger than Lake Charles. This is a church that believes in mission. It believes in giving. It believes in sowing around the world. So thank you so much. We literally just got 49 children in the last 2 months out of slavery into the home which you helped us build. Come on. So these children are living in horrendous situations. They live in poverty. Some of them work from 7 a.m. right to 7 p.m. with no food. They can be beaten. I mean, it is horrific. I could not believe what I saw when I got there in Pakistan. But God has a plan, and God has done a great work, and we've been able to build a children's home in 1 year. And as I said, we got 49 out. So we're just now educating them. We're rehabilitating them. Some of them have arthritis as children because the pain is so great. But we're seeing God move. And you know, it's just part of God's plan for Pakistan, we believe. I'm going to go there again in a few weeks' time and hopefully just continue to expand and grow what God is doing there. So thank you so much. I send greetings from my wife. She's in Jennings today at Our Savior's Church. And we go on to Texas, and then we go on to Ohio. It's a 3-week trip for us, and then we go back to England on August 20th. But my wife flies to Brazil, where she's going to be reaching 2,000 girls with the Dignity Project. So life's pretty busy for us. We lead a church in England, Renew Church, as Pastor Todd said. They send our greetings. And we are just pumped up about life. You know, when you serve Jesus, life should not be boring. Life should be full. Jesus said he's come to give us life and life in abundance. So I'm living the abundant life that God has promised me and given me. So I'm so excited to be here with you all in Lake Charles. Pastor Todd, a few weeks ago, we were debating and talking about what I should be speaking on, and I didn't really know which angle to go down, but really felt strongly a particular word, which I'm going to speak to you this morning. And then he said to me, Matthew, that's exactly the word which I feel like God has been speaking to me on my vacation, so go for it. So I feel like this is not just a sermon, it's not just something to keep you occupied for 30 minutes. I really believe this is a word from God for you and your life today. So please be open up your hearts and just receive what God's got for you today. I did wonder if Pastor Todd had been ignoring me because he didn't have a phone for 3 weeks. But he eventually replied to me and we managed to arrange this. So it's all good. He normally replies within about 4 seconds of you sending him a message. So when it was several days, I thought he'd been kidnapped or something, but he's alive. I think that's a good thing. Okay, we're going to talk a message about thoughts. I've called it Think About It. Thoughts. How many know that thoughts are so crucial? How many know that thoughts are a huge subject? How to manage our thoughts and thoughts. Thoughts can determine whether or not we really make it in our life. Thoughts can wreck marriages. They can destroy relationships. They can ruin friendships. They can make the office tomorrow morning a miserable or a happy place. And guess what? Thoughts can even ruin great churches. I did some research on the amount of thoughts which the average person thinks in a day. And the statisticians, the experts claim that you and me each think 50,000 times every day. That sounds a lot, doesn't it? 50,000. I thought that that was a bit too much. And then I began to think about it for a while and realized that I'd probably thought about 100 times thinking about whether it was really 50,000 thoughts. And then I realized, well, maybe that stat is actually true. It's 35 thoughts a minute. It's a lot of thinking. Now, many of our thoughts are good. We can use our thoughts for positive things. Hey, you look great today. I like your hair. Nice clothes. Love your jacket. Love your shirt. You know, we can be positive with our thoughts and our words. We can think, you know what? Today I'm going to go and I'm going to buy someone lunch. I'm going to think about that. It's a premeditated action, and I'm going to go today and I'm going to buy someone lunch. I'm going to bless them. Hey, here's $100. I'm going to think about blessing someone. You could think about being positive today with your thoughts. You might be thinking about buying your wife some flowers. I think about buying my wife flowers all the time. You might think about how important God's word is to your life and your situation. And you may be thinking, you know what? I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on the word of God. You may think, man, that was incredible worship. That was fantastic, phenomenal. I'm gonna do more of that tomorrow morning before I get to work. You're thinking about how you can make God more of a central part of your life. But how many know you can also use your brain and your mind and your thoughts for negative things? Yeah? Man, the mind can be a dangerous place. Negative and destructive thoughts can often wreck our minds. A violent battle is raging around us 24 hours a day. You know, there was a book written in 1965 by a man named Donald Barnhouse, and it was called The Invisible War, where the author talks about the battle for your mind. He says that battle's vicious. He says that that battle is unrelenting. It's unfair, because guess what? The devil never plays fair. I'm not one of these preachers who bangs on about the devil all day. I'm not one of these preachers who likes to glorify Satan, but I want to tell you that the devil will do all he can to get in your mind. Why does he do that? Because guess what? Your greatest asset is your mind. Now, have you ever had a scenario where you have played out a conversation with someone, an argument, a discussion, a disagreement, a fight, a debate, and you've played out the entire thing in your head, and it's not even happened? You ever been there? And sometimes it's kind of fun to get it out there in your head without actually having to do it. But our thoughts can play havoc with us. I mean, you could be in like a coffee shop, and someone could walk in who you know, and you think that they've ignored you, and you spend all day wondering why they ignored you and why they don't like you anymore. It happens in church. Someone may walk past you and not shake your hand today, and you're spending all service, oh, praise the name of the Lord. Why do they hate me? It's kind of messing with my head. Maybe someone didn't reply to your text message, like Pastor Todd didn't reply to me. I'm thinking, man, he hates me. We're done. Our whirlwind friendship is over. It happens in marriage all the time, right? Okay, or is it just me? Just a British marriage. American marriages are perfect, I'm sure. Yeah, right. So I'm like, you know, sometimes you can go into, I'll go into the kitchen and my wife's there. And I kind of just sense a little bit of tension. But I don't know what I've done wrong. And obviously it's going to be me who's done something wrong and not her. Because that's how it works, right? Stop thinking, man, what did I do? What didn't I do? What did I say? What didn't I say? What did I forget? What mess did I leave around the house? I mean, and you're kind of just thinking. You're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And then you start to get really depressive very quickly. Oh, man, she hates me. Oh man, she's gonna leave me. Oh man, I'm not gonna get to see my son again. You know, and you start to think about all these different things, and man, she's She's disappearing and she's going to leave me and abandon me. And all this time, I'm thinking and thinking and thinking and my thoughts are getting out of, they're just escalating. They're getting worse. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And I've done my 50,000 thoughts in about 3 minutes because this situation has just got so bad. And guess what? Nothing has happened. Nothing. She's just been my wife, you know? She's just doing what women do, you know? You know what I'm saying? And I've got to be careful here. But she just kind of just needs a bit of time. I've not done anything. She still loves me. We're still going to be together, you know? Life's good. She just needs a bit of space. And here's me. I'm thinking too much. Thinking can be dangerous. Thinking can be terrible. Our thoughts and the battle in our mind is absolutely crucial. You know, a man doesn't wake up one day and decide to have an affair. He's probably thought about it for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. Someone who commits suicide doesn't wake up one day and decide, I can't do this anymore. But they've been battling their mind and their mental health for a long, long time. The man who yesterday morning went to Walmart in El Paso, he didn't wake up that morning and decide to cause havoc on a nation and put fear into people. He's been building up those thoughts, those sick, evil, perverted, twisted thoughts for probably years of his life. You see, thoughts determine whether we live or whether we die. Thoughts are so important. I'm going to talk about thoughts for a few moments. I got 2 points. I'm going to finish with some real key points which you can take home, and they're really going to help you through the week and through your life. I really believe that. But the first thing I want to say is thoughts are a spiritual battle. The battle of our mind is not a natural one. It's a spiritual one. Here's what the Bible says. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We don't fight flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're in a spiritual battle. Now, we don't want to bang on about this all day. We're not going to play imaginary spiritual warfare games and go around, you know, trying to cast a demon out of everything. I'm not one of those kind of preachers, but we are in a battle. And there's a devil out there who, as much as God wants to prosper your life, he wants to harm your life. Here's what Jesus says in John 8, 4 to 4. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. You see, many times we think that to fight a spiritual battle, we can fight it with natural remedy. I'll go and take a breather. Go and calm down. Take some rest. Get a good sleep. You'll be fine tomorrow. They're all great ideas. They're not necessarily God ideas. Yeah, get some fresh air. Yeah, get some sleep. Do all you can to protect your body and be healthy. But you can't fight a spiritual battle with a natural medicine. Here's what Paul says to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. He says, though we live in the world, we don't wage war like the world. The weapons we fight are not of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. David did not have a chance of beating Goliath, but the Bible says, without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine down. He didn't need the world's advice. He needed the Word's advice. Anyone ever read Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Let's pull it up. Ephesians 6 says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wow. You see, the Bible says, listen to this, there's going to be flaming arrows. Who feels like they've had some flaming arrows this week? Oh, man. Who feels like they've had some flaming arrows come to bombard them and destroy them? Yeah? Oh, man, everybody hates you. It's a flaming arrow. Your marriage is going to finish. It's a flaming arrow. You're going to be sick for the rest of your life. It's a flaming arrow. Your children, they're never going to serve God. It's a flaming arrow. You're going to die by the age of 50. Guess what? That's a flaming arrow. Your business is going to fail. It's a flaming arrow. You'll be lonely and single forever. It's a flaming arrow. You're going to have no money. You're going to be in poverty, but you'll never be able to go on that vacation you dream. That's a flaming arrow. Left, right, and center. You're just in this position where these arrows are coming to attack you. They're darting from either side. They're flaming arrows. So what does Paul tell us to do? He says to use the sword of the Spirit. Let's pull that up again, Ephesians 6. He said, use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you know what? When I get that arrow come at me, I'm going to say I'm chosen. I'm a child of God. My marriage is ordained by God. My child was dedicated by in church. We dedicate our children and we say, God, I'm going to stand on your word. He who raises a child in the ways of the Lord, he shall not depart from them when he's older. I got a God who's got plans for me. I'm not going to be in poverty forever. He's going to prosper me. So the first thing is, you're in a spiritual battle. Here's the second thing. You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. Now, listen to me. This is so important. God will fight your enemies all day long. But you fight your thoughts. God's not going to do that bit for you. He's going to give you the tools. He's going to help you. But you are the one who are going to fight your thoughts. And here's what I've learned. You don't overcome thoughts with thoughts. You overcome thoughts with truth. Romans 10:17 says this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, to hear the word of God means that the word of God must be spoken. If you spend all day trying to mentally overcome these thoughts, chances are you're going to fail. Chances are you've got to stand on the word of God and speak it out. I got two tips for you. Number one, you call out his lies. Number two, you speak out the truth. Now, I've had some crazy thoughts. I mean crazy. Bad thoughts. And I've learned over time to stand on the word of God. I love this book. This book changed my life. I can't go a day of my life without turning to this book. People say, I need a word from God. And they'll chase around people. They'll go to conferences. They'll read books. There's nothing wrong. They'll turn on Christian TV. There's nothing wrong with that. But man, there's something powerful about picking up the book from the word of God. Wow. I'm going to help you real quick with a few points, and then I'm done. Now, we've all got negative thoughts coming into our brains all day. I don't care how popular you are, how famous you are, how rich you are. You battle negativity at some stage in your life. This year, I've preached in the Houses of Parliament or spoken in Parliament 3 times in England, in London, in Westminster. We just got a new Prime Minister last week. And I've been able to go in there 3 times this year and speak the Word of God. Which, who would have ever dreamed of that? So I've met some pretty important people. I met politicians. I met people who've ran for the Prime Minister. I met people who know and work with the Prime Minister. You know, very high officials. And they're some of the most insecure people you could ever meet. They got wealth and fortune and fame. And they battle negativity. They battle negativity. So, this affects us all. And I got a little graph I'm going to show you now, which is going to help you. Because we all get these kind of thoughts, and we can all counteract them with God's word. Maybe this is your thought. I was an accident. Maybe mum or dad told you you were an accident. I met a lady one time, and she said, my mum told me she didn't love me. My mum told me that she didn't even want me. And I've grown up my whole life feeling rejected by my own mum. Imagine that. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you feel like nobody loves you, and maybe you feel unwanted, and maybe you feel like I'm just an accident. My parents didn't even really want me anyway. I'm just here because of an accident. If that's you, I want to introduce you to Psalm 139, verse 14, where God says about you, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what the world says about you. I don't care what even your parents say about you. Here's what God says about you. I am God who you say that I am. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. The second point is my future's bleak. Last summer, I got a phone call from a politician who I didn't know. And his story was on the front pages of all the newspapers, BBC, you know, New York Times even carried it. I mean, it was big news. This man had a huge scandal and a big fall from grace. This man was working directly for the Prime Minister. He was a member of Parliament. He was the Prime Minister's speechwriter and a government minister. Pretty big deal in the UK government. He was extremely ashamed of what happened, and his family was in tatters and his job was at risk. My phone rang 3 days after the scandal. And this voice that I'd heard on television and on the radio and knew this man's name, said, Pastor Matthew, someone gave me your number. I think my future's bleak. He said, in fact, I'm calling you from a mental institute where I'm on suicide watch because I don't know if I can take another day. I drove down to the hospital to meet him. I walked in the door. I gave her, he had a pseudonym because the press were camped outside trying to get in. And I knelt with him by his bedside and wept with him and said to him, my plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. I led that man to Jesus Christ. He's now part of our church. We baptized him. He's in a small group and he's speaking the word of God in Parliament. Never been in church in his life before that. Listen, doesn't matter if your future seems bleak right now. I want to tell you that God has a plan for you. He has a plan to prosper you. Maybe you've had some bad news medically. Maybe you've had some bad news in your relationship. I want to tell you, God has a plan. The God who got you to this point has a plan. I don't promise you that the plan is always easy. I don't promise you that the plan doesn't have a few little issues along the way. 4 years ago, I nearly died of malaria. All my organs shut down and I was given 3 hours to live. Is that your plan, God? Well, guess what? God turned it around. God has a plan. I'm lonely. I'm going to be really honest with you, real transparent. I got a great marriage, beautiful little boy, lots and lots of friends all around the world. Got thousands of people following me on social media. My phone rings all day long. We've been doing television work this year. Life is great. Sometimes I get a little bit lonely. Sometimes I can be in a hotel room after a great day's preaching when all these people, great message, awesome, we love you. And I can get in bed and feel lonely. I can feel like, man. You see, I can't get my satisfaction from being behind a pulpit. I can't even get my satisfaction from a great marriage and a great family, although they're amazing, and I love preaching, and I love my family. The only place I can get true satisfaction in life is from heaven. See, if I'm lonely, I don't turn to bad, negative thoughts like some people do, and like I've been tempted to do. But I get Deuteronomy out, and I say Deuteronomy 31:6 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. People may abandon me. Friends may turn their back on me. Pastors may let me down. Not reply to my text. But guess what? You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I can never be lonely when I'm a Christian. I got my ever-present help in time of need. I think that's what David said. Man. Flaming arrow. God will never forgive me. Maybe you've done something so bad you never dared tell a soul. If your parents knew what you were doing, if your husband or your wife knew what you would never, that you cannot quite believe that God could forgive you. The flaming arrow of guilt. Maybe you've committed some crimes, which if we saw them on the screen, you'd be so ashamed. You know, I've done things in my life, guys, where if you put them on that screen, I would be ashamed to be in this room, and I would run a mile. And I can't believe sometimes that God would forgive and use me. Maybe you think that God can't forgive you. Maybe you think that God can't heal you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive us. There's nothing you can do that can stop God from forgiving you. You just got to be humble. Anyone remember Saul of Tarsus? You know that guy in the Bible? He used to go around killing Christians. Anyone here ever killed a Christian? No. Anyone ever here wanted to kill a Christian? Yes. Well, Saul of Tarsus did it. He killed hundreds of Christians for a living. He persecuted followers of the way. And then one day, he was on the road to Damascus, and God struck him down. And he had an encounter with God that changed him from a persecutor to a preacher. The man who murdered Christians. He killed people like me and you. It would be almost like a leading Islamic leader who has terrorized Christians, getting saved. Not only getting saved, but he becomes the pastor of the mega church. And he plants churches all around the world, and he takes the gospel to Europe, which is my continent, which then took the gospel to Africa and other parts of the world. God took the murderer. So if God can take the murderer, what on earth can God do with you? I've been in jails in Kenya. I've been in prisons in Africa. And I've sat with rapists. I've sat with murderers, and I've said, God can forgive you. He's got a plan. God doesn't love me. Anyone ever felt that? Man, I don't think God even likes me. Listen, God just, not only does he love you, he likes you. He thinks you're amazing. You're his son, you're his daughter, you're his child. God loves you. Don't let the devil take that love out of your heart. There's enough hate out there in this world. When you're in this church, we love you. We want you because God loves you and God wants you. And just like that prodigal son who messed up and ran home to dad, guess what? Today, God is here with open arms. He welcomes you. He loves you. He adores you. Man, we serve a great God. He loves you. You're not an accident. Your future's not bleak. You can never be lonely. God will always forgive you. God always loves you. And guess what? You are going to change. Maybe you've been battling pornography for years. Maybe you've had jealousy and anger problems your entire life because of the way your parents rejected you. Maybe you've had addiction issues. Maybe you've had problems your whole life. And there's a voice in your head, a thought. Maybe a good chunk of those 50,000 thoughts every day. You're never going to change. You'll be like this forever. Well, here's what my God says about me. He says in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you, He's going to bring it to completion, friend. God's not going to leave you like this. How's that prayer life going on? Maybe you want to pray more. Guess what? I want to pray more. But guess what? I'm on a journey, and God began something in my heart, and He's going to complete it. Maybe I don't quite read my Bible enough. Maybe I've skipped the odd day. Maybe there's been days when I've just not gone into the Word of God like, and guess what? I'm on a journey, and He began something, and He's going to complete it. Maybe that relationship hurt. It's never going to change. Guess what? God can change anything. We sang today, Jesus, you change everything. Someone said to me yesterday, my husband is so miserable. My husband will never change. I've accepted the fact that he will be a liar and a manipulator for the rest of his life. I said, don't say that. God can change anyone. And what He's began, He will complete. So today, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God's got plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. If you confess your sins, He's here to forgive you. He loved the world so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And what He started in your life, He's going to complete. Thoughts, 50,000 thoughts. How are you going to use them? I want to use them for God. I want to use them to think good things. I want to use them to declare God's word over my life. When those flaming arrows come, guess what? I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to build my life on the word of God. Let's just bow our heads real quick. Presence of God's here today. And I pray right now for God by His Holy Spirit to touch your life. In Jesus' name. This is a great church, a generous church. But what about you right now? What about those thoughts that are bombarding you? Maybe it's the issue of unforgiveness. Maybe it's the issue of sin. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do two appeals right now. The first one, I'm going to appeal for those who just need to get right with God. And the second, it's for people who just want to say, I'm going to stand on God's word. Firstly, if you know there's sin in your heart, if you know there's issues which you need to deal with, listen, you can be forgiven in an instant right now. Maybe the guilt's pounding and you know this is for you. If you say, Pastor, I need forgiveness. I need Jesus to come and wash me clean. Do me a favor. Just show me your hand real quick right now. If there's anyone, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, there's more. Don't be shy today. Don't let pride stop you. Keep that hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just show me your hand. Thank you. I got it. Yeah. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Jesus, touch and heal and forgive every person who raised their hand. Let them know they're loved by you. Let them know that nothing separates us from the love of God. Second group of people today. I didn't even do this in the first service, but I know it's for this room right now. But you've believed a lie, and you've got negative thoughts bombarding you, and you say, you know what? I need to stand on God's word. If that's you, just show me a hand. I just want to do a little prayer for you right now. I'll pray for you. You've got thoughts in your head which are not from God. Father, I rebuke those lies. I tell the devil to get his hands off of my brain and my mind and my soul. And I say, thank you, God, but I declare and I stand on you and your word in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I'm healed, I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, doesn't it feel great just to be free to worship him? I'm going to go and be in that foyer. You can come and get prayer. You can come and talk to me. I didn't mention earlier, but those children we pulled out of slavery, we still desperately need people to sponsor them. So if you can help us with that, it's just $30 per month. You can come and see me at the back. Come and talk. Come and hang out. I'd love to pray with anyone who needs prayer. I'm going to hand back now to Pastor Todd. Thank you, Church of the King.
It's an amazing message, and it really was kind of freaky when he told me, hey, here's some ideas I have for speaking, and it was on thoughts, and it's what God had spoken to me, and I think there was a direct correlation for the reason that God spoke to me about thoughts was because I had a lot of thinking to do because there were no distractions. When your thoughts line up with what God says is truth, your actions become different and your life becomes miraculous. And so today, if you raised your hand and you said, I want God to do a work in me, let me just say there's two things you need to do. Here's the first. Let somebody know. Take a moment, fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you where it says, I've decided. Fill that out. You can do it online. And that's step one. Here's step two. Let me just encourage you to do this. Pray with somebody. On the side walls, you see the crosses projected. Our ministry team members are going to be there as we dismiss in just a moment. Go pray with somebody. Something happens when you confess out before someone, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what's going on, pray for me. God hears that, and then he has his representative there to speak his word to you. So do it. Did y'all have a good time today? It was awesome, wasn't it? Give Pastor Matt a hand again. Why don't we stand to our feet as well? It's just an amazing message, an awesome service. Man, I love being your pastor, and I love it when we have men and women of God step up onto this platform to be able to share, because what God is doing through Pastor Matt and Becky is unreal, and it's an honor to be a part. God did something in your life. Connect with somebody. Father, we just pray. I just pray your blessing over everyone here today. I just pray that as they seek you and turn to you, that, Lord, in their following, they know that you are with them because you're very clearly speaking to them. So I just pray blessing over everyone as they follow you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You guys are dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. Have a great Sunday. God bless.